later I left that marketing job basically because I lost a passion for it. It's mainly because it simply just wasn't what I was expecting. Over the course of the night, he gave me a lot of advice on business, most of which I don't really remember, but I do remember this one specific thing. There was this one piece of advice that he gave me that'll kind of stay with me forever. He said, follow that word at any cost, and it will lead you down the road of a level of fulfillment and happiness that you've never imagined. Find that word and do that. And for me, that word was discovery. I got such an incredible charge from creating videos and creating my own content. Every decision that you made up until this point of your life means that you had a dream to begin with.
Welcome to another LTS podcast, a show about YouTubers, vloggers, content creators, and the influences they are creating. Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to another LTS podcast. My name is Mario. On today's podcast, I have JD Prevost of JD Tech TV. Now, he is in no relation to the Prevost bus line. Yes, that is a company. We talk about it on the show there. I didn't know until actually he started talking about it. And then today at work, I saw that line, that bus line that we were speaking about. Just a very interesting note. JD, as I mentioned, is a tech reviewer. He reviews anything from iPhone cases, lenses for your mobile phone, drones, anything. And he adds an extra bit of entertainment to it by adding a comedic effect. Very, very awesome. To date, he's uploaded 38 videos. He has over 6,000 subscribers. And get this, he has over 100,000 views already just on those 38 videos. Crazy. He has been active since January 9th of 2017. And a very interesting way of how he got into YouTube and his secret channel that he's had for over 10 years. Guys, this is my podcast with JD Prevost of JD Tech TV. On today's podcast, I have JD from JD Tech TV. Now, JD, I wanted to pronounce your name, your last name, but I didn't want to sort of butcher it. Is it Prevost?
Yeah, Prevost, like the bus, although sadly no relation.
Awesome. So there. So that's out of the way. So yeah, guys, obviously you heard JD. He's on the podcast today. Basically, what we're going to talk about is his YouTube channel. Now, if you guys aren't big into tech sort of channels, which is what JD's genre is, then you're missing out. I would like to say that your channel is more, because I watch, Unbox Therapy, and I get it's kind of like that, but you add your own twist to it and you add like a comedic effect to it. So I absolutely love that, the way you do it. I think your channel is very unique in that sense.
Thanks, Mario. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I'm happy that you're on the podcast, JD. I do appreciate you giving me some of your busy time. I'm pretty sure that filming takes up quite a bit of your time, and then editing and all that good jazz. We all know that it's a YouTuber's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much like everyone else that I've met and have spoken to on the podcast, Justin, Will, Heather, JD is also in the same group that we are all in, and that's the Vloggers of YouTube. So that's how I got to know JD, obviously through Justin as well, and we sort of had that introduction. And I wanted to get JD on here a couple of weeks now because I feel that his channel is growing at a really, really good pace, and all of the tech, and it's interesting, right? Because technology is always changing every single day. So to get your fill of technology, JD is your guy to go to. But before we sort of dive into JD Tech TV and how that all came to be, about you, JD, so why don't you give us a little rundown of who JD is?
Sure, and I'll kind of like pull the story back a little bit, kind of like to where I started out, if you don't mind, to give you a little context as to why I started YouTube to begin with.
Go for it, brother.
All right, so I grew up in a small town. It's called Fort Walton Beach, Florida. It's in the panhandle of Florida. And if you don't know where that is, typically if I say towns like Destin or Panama City or Pensacola, people kind of tend to know where those are. And they kind of know the general area that Fort Walton Beach is in from there. So it's like right on the beach. And I went to elementary, middle, and high school there. It's a very conservative town. It is a very large military town. And it's filled with very nice people, but very conservative. And I don't really mean that in a sense as far as like political views, but I mean that more of like a traditional sense, as everyone has a formula with how they're supposed to live their lives, and they expect others to follow that formula as well. Like, you know, like finish school, go to college, get a job, have 2.5 kids, and basically remain friends only with the people that you knew from high school, and then retire. So I tried that. After high school, I shipped off to Tallahassee, Florida, where I went to Tallahassee Community College and Florida State University for marketing and journalism. And I ended up in a job in the marketing department of a credit union, where I stayed for a number of years. And later I left that marketing job basically because I lost the passion for it. It's mainly because it simply just wasn't what I was expecting. Fast forward a few years and I'm back in my hometown trying to figure out the rest of my life and kind of what I wanted to do with it. And while I was doing that, I was working at this kind of swanky restaurant, like the kind of place where like people play jazz music and the servers wear bow ties, all that kind of stuff. And the people who came into that restaurant were mostly regulars, and they were like high profile people from the area. So you had like lawyers, local politicians, entrepreneurs, a lot of entrepreneurs actually, and that sort of thing. And one night, it was on a very slow night, this guy and I got to talking that I was waiting on, and we ended up kind of sharing some stories about our lives and a few things about each other. And over the course of the night, he gave me a lot of advice on business, most of which I don't really remember, but I do remember this one specific thing. There was this one piece of advice that he gave me that'll kind of stay with me forever. And what he said was, I need you to think of one word. It can be any word that you want it to be, but I really need you to think about this. He said, imagine yourself on your deathbed. Imagine all the people who are in the room looking back at you, those who know you the most, and imagine all the things that you've accomplished in your life. This word that I want you to come up with, if you said this word to those people who are there and know you the most, in your last moments, that they would all have a knowing smile, understanding that that one word encompasses your life in its totality. Come up with that word. And it's a word that you can go to bed to every night. It's a word that you can wake up to every morning, the word that charges you, the word that gives you goosebumps. He said, follow that word at any cost, and it will lead you down the road of a level of fulfillment and happiness that you've never imagined. Find that word and do that. And for me, that word was discovery. So I took that to heart, and I found the perfect career, and I found the perfect direction and goal that combined my natural love of science, space, and astronomy, which I've had those interests for a very long time, but I was very afraid of the math. I wasn't naturally inclined in math, so I kind of shied away from that, ended up going into marketing instead. But I went back to school for a concentration in physics, planetary science, and astrophysics. Whew. And it's fun, man. But I chose that because it was a field that I felt that I would never discover everything about it. I mean, obviously, space is infinite. You can never learn everything. So I would always have an opportunity to experience discovery until the day that I die. Mm. So kind of like that kind of brings me to where I am now. So I ended up moving to Orlando, Florida, which is where I live now. And
big
I'm
attending, ups.
Yeah. And I'm attending University of Central Florida for those concentrations. So I kind of said all of that to kind of give you context as to why I started YouTube. Going to school is expensive, especially at UCF. It's really, really expensive. I continued to see my student loans piling up, and I didn't want to be in an unmanageable amount of debt right out of college, especially since I was planning to propose to my now wife at the time. I really didn't want her to inherit my debt through marriage. You know, I didn't want to start a family that way. So I wanted to find ways to kind of create some sort of passive income to where I can earn money without really having to work at that specific time. I can earn money while I sleep.
Right.
So I came across a few videos on YouTube. I was trying to learn how to do this. I was searching, and I came across this guy called Sean Cannell, I think is how you actually pronounce his name. And he has a YouTube page called Think Media TV, and his page is all about those type of things, is kind of helping you create passive income, because that's what I searched, passive income.
Right.
Came across this video of how to sell Amazon products through tech reviews and how to make income on the side from that. So, you know, I was watching that and just kind of thought, I was like, you know, I have marketing experience, and I have an analytical mind from my physics training. I know I can reverse engineer this, make it my own. I can do this no problem. I researched for a few months, started JD Tech TV in January of 2017, and as a way to kind of create some side income for myself. And at the time, I thought I could make money from it pretty quickly, but that dream was shattered almost instantly. It's very, very difficult to make money on YouTube, because there's a lot of moving parts that I didn't really understand about YouTube until I was in that world. Right. But even though I wasn't making the side income I wanted to right away, I got such an incredible charge from creating videos and creating my own content that having people respond positively to it was just, it was almost a cathartic experience that I didn't really expect from that medium. So it was a whole new level of discovery that I hadn't tapped into yet, and I decided that I didn't want to stop. So now, a little bit over 6 months later, since I started, I have a little over 6,000 subscribers. I created a community that I genuinely love, and now beginning to work with higher tier companies so I can get more videos out and more products out to my audience, so I can help them make better tech purchase decisions, which is what the channel is all about to begin with.
Oh, isn't that something, eh? Like, honestly, you're like, I don't know, man, we must be related in some sort of way, because like I want to take it back to, you know, kind of where you were talking about how you really didn't want to go for the schooling that you went to before. You know, you went to the marketing, which is kind of funny, because a lot of YouTubers start out in marketing or are still in marketing. So that's kind of an interesting thing in itself. But you loved sort of like that astronomy type of thing. And that's actually really funny, because when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an astronaut. And it sounds cliche, I know, but my parents bought me this universe book, where it kind of sort of teaches you things about, you know, astrology and the moon and planets and nebulas and all these things. And I think my parents still have this book, but I wrote in that book, and sometimes when I was living at my parents' house, I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, man, you are such an idiot for writing that. And I think I wrote, this will be like the first person to walk on Mars or something stupid along those lines. But it resonates. It resonates that, you know, if you pursue what you love to do, eventually it will return to you tenfold. You might not know it instant, but now, like, you're the perfect case. You know, you started doing, and now it's paying dividends. And I think that's really important for people to understand, is that no matter what you want to do in life, you know, it could turn around 360 and find something different. Like, I went to schooling for something completely different, and, you know, thank God that, you know, it's a great paying job, but it's not something that I want to do. I want to be doing more stuff like this, and much like you. So, you know, congratulations on getting this far and continuing, man, because I can see big things for your channel, and that's great. A lot of people as well, you know, look at this as a passive income. I as well thought of it, you know, damn, I want to start making money on YouTube. I'm seeing these big YouTubers coming from nothing to making so much money, but it's not easy. We are, you know, YouTube is very saturated. It's got so many of this, of each genre, right? That it's hard to break through. It's one of those things, man. Even myself too, like I was looking at ways for passive income as well. I went along the Amazon route as well. I have, and I think a lot of YouTubers do, you know, when in the description where they're like, you know, this is my gear, and you know, you go and you click on there, and people, if people buy them, then you get a commission off of that. I think I'm doing that too, to a certain extent, but it's really hard because I don't have that marketing background. You know, you go on and you start learning about all that, but it's very interesting how, especially the marketing part, like yourself, you know, Justin, Heather, and Will, the people that I've interviewed so far, they all have some sort of marketing background. And that's why people like yourselves, I think, have an advantage. Also, I mean, everyone has a drive, but it's whether you act on that drive to continue moving forward. So you started JD Tech TV in January of this year. So you've been in it for what, 6 months now?
Correct.
And you have, so that's 1,000 subscribers a month, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. It didn't start that way. The growth kind of no. came from like in the last month. And that's the thing. I'm going to kind of unpack a few of the things that you said before. First of all, you can be an astronaut if you want to. First of all, because people are getting sent to Mars soon. And I don't know if you were like me, but when Mars One, I don't know if you remember this, there was this company that was creating this thing called Mars One, and they were going to send people to Mars one way, never to return.
Yeah.
But you got to, but you got to go. Yeah. And there was 200,000 people that signed up for it. I was one of those people. Come to find out, I'm 6'5". You have to be 6'4" or under to be an astronaut. So I missed it by about 1 inch, but to be completely honest, I would have backed out anyway, because that means I would never have seen my family, friends, and especially my dog ever again.
Yeah.
So it would have been a terrible idea, but you know, like as far as like the astronomy, to you and to really anyone else, like looking back on those childhood dreams, that's something that I think that people kind of naturally will feel silly over, but every decision that you made up until this point of your life means that you had a dream to begin with. And now that you are to this point that you're at currently in your life, means that you followed some sort of train of thought that stemmed from those early dreams. So whether you followed through with those things or not kind of helped you form the person that you are today. So looking back on those dreams, if anything, kind of would help you recharge any sort of childhood passion that you had. So I think you should contact your parents. I think you should get that book. I think you're doing great things now, but I think that's, if anything, that's going to be beneficial to you and anybody that's listening. I highly encourage going back and looking at some things that you wrote down when you were a kid. Kind of fast forwarding, as far as people being marketers for YouTube, and I think it's just been a happy coincidence that the people that we now are in contact with, my friends that are on YouTube, the people that you've interviewed, they all kind of tend to be in this marketing world. Mm-hmm. It helps. It helps. Don't get me wrong. It helps greatly. However, I don't necessarily think that you have to have that sort of marketing background to start a YouTube page. I think that you should be open to learning marketing, marketing yourself. I think that is incredibly important. I think that's an important skill to learn, but it's a skill that everybody can learn. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I've waited tables. Any person who has ever waited a table before in their entire life or dealt with the public in any way, they're marketers because they're having to sell a product in some way, whether you're a retail, whether you're a server, whether you're a bartender, it doesn't matter what it is. You are selling something, and that is the entire backbone of marketing. You have to be able to be confident in yourself in what you're saying to be able to sell something. And that's no different on YouTube. You have to be a presence for people to be attracted to. And that's kind of scary for a lot of people to put themselves out there.
Oh, yeah.
In that way, especially for vloggers, because you're opening this window into your life that I don't think a lot of people are comfortable doing. And to every vlogger, to you, to Justin, to Will, to Heather, to all these people that you've interviewed, it's, I take my hat off to you, because I don't think that that's a medium that I could be successful in. I think the tech review side is a little bit more in my comfort zone. But yeah, this having a marketing background and a marketing experience definitely does help. But if anyone is thinking about starting a YouTube page and they're starting to see this trend that we're all marketers, don't think that you have to be in that world to be able to do what you're doing. And as far as what you said for your Amazon affiliates page, it's all about just creating a community of people that will trust you. So they don't, you don't necessarily need to sell to people. You can just say, listen, this is what I use, and people will come to you for advice for the type of things that you are using, for, because they just, they know that you love it, they trust you, and therefore they're going to want to buy it. So for me on my channel, that's the whole thing, is I want to create a trust with the community, and I want to be so closely knit with my community and talk to them on a personal level that they will trust me for those things. And it is not specifically just to sell something to them. I'm not ever going to put something on my channel that I don't believe in. That's the important part. Everything that I use, everything that I review, everything that I suggest to my audience has been tested and approved by me, because I've had companies send me things that just for lack of a better phrase, just simply not good enough. So I've sent it back to them, and, you know, I've given them some feedback and said, you know, this, these things could be improved. If you were able to improve this, I'd be more than happy to continue this partnership. But just being genuine to your audience is really the most important thing. Not necessarily marketing. It's just simply being a genuine person and having your audience trust you.
Yeah, well said. I mean, I love that. I 100% agree with everything you're saying. It's hard. Even for tech reviews like yourself. I mean, for a little bit. I mean, you do put yourself in front of a camera, and in order to articulate what you're trying to say, it takes a lot of courage to be in front of a camera, because sometimes it can be silly. You're just talking to a camera, but I think you do it very well. The way you speak and articulate things, it's great. It's great. So I mean, I don't find it boring. I find it entertaining and informative, and I think a lot of your subscribers would probably feel the same way. Are you still in contact with that person that told you to find a word?
You know, that's funny.
Or was it just one off?
I worked there for about a year after this instance, and it was a one-time thing. He came in once, because it was so odd, because normally the people that come in there, if they come there once, it was such a good restaurant, they typically come again. We made sure that was the whole business model. And right. He never came back in. It was just almost just like a ghost in the wind. Like, it's almost like it just never happened. And I imagine this in a way, because I never saw the guy. No one knew who he was. And it just seemed like he was just kind of a guy that was passing through town, because that does happen a lot. There's a lot of conferences and things there. And a lot of concierges would recommend us. So it's possible that that's exactly what happened. But for whatever reason, we found each other interesting, and he was kind enough to give me that advice. I've never seen him again. I never got his name. I was so just drawn in by the things that he was saying that I completely forgot to get his name, as terrible as that sounds. But I never knew the guy, and I've been looking for him ever since.
Man, but that just adds to the lore of the story. I like it. I mean, I hope you find him someday and talk to him about, you know, how that probably changed your life. But I like it. It adds to the background of the story. So that's awesome, man. That's a very, very awesome story to JD. Now let's move into JD Tech TV. Now, is channel, or have you attempted it before? How did you get into that whole YouTube thing?
So, all right, I'll share with you something that I haven't told too many people. I'm sure a lot of people will know now. This is not my first time into YouTube. I felt confident getting into YouTube because I've done it before, and I didn't do it on purpose, if that makes any sense. What I did was, whenever I was in marketing and I left, I lost a lot of sense of direction. I lost a lot of self-confidence in myself. And this was a long time ago. This was back in Tallahassee. And while I was in between jobs trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I wanted to give myself some sense of purpose. And this is where it's going to sound strange. At the time, I don't know. I mean, you obviously know who David Blaine is, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So at the time, he was kind of like coming up, and he had this tape. And this was back when, before DVDs, when they were still tapes, called Street Magic. And I just, yep. I picked it up. I can't even remember where I got it, but I had it. So I'd watch it, and because I thought it was kind of cool. And I always found, you know, it's people being, having a sleight of hand, and just always found that like, that interesting. And not like I ever wanted to be a magician or anything like that, but I just found it interesting. So I'd watch it, and I'd sit down, and I'd try to, you know, do something that I enjoyed watching, just to try to like make myself forget the issues that I had going on with my career. And as I was watching it, I was kind of almost studying how he was doing it, because I kind of wanted to figure it out myself. I wanted to give myself a purpose in some way. And I was kind of subconsciously doing this. So I got a deck of cards. I tried to figure out how to do it. And I kind of figured out my own way of doing it. And I mentioned it to somebody, one of my friends, and he said, oh, I've been trying to learn how to do that. Will you please that to me? So I said, sure. So I had a little point and shoot camera. I made it. And through email, tried to send it to him online. There were like all these, like, you know, wasn't a thing then, but they had other file sharing sites that were up at the time because the file was too big. So YouTube was the only answer. So I uploaded it on YouTube and sent it to him. Never made it private, never did anything like that. I never tagged the thing. I never tried to go out of my way to make it actual rank and be searchable. And I just sent it to him. So because it was so popular at the time, other people were searching for these things as well. And I was getting a lot of feedback. I mean, I put that one video up and I got about 10,000 views of it in the first month.
Damn.
It didn't mean anything to me, because I didn't understand the power of YouTube. I didn't understand what I was doing.
Right.
As I was getting feedback, they said, hey, can you figure out this card trick? Can you do this? You do great on tutorials. Can you do this? So I was like, okay, like, I'm literally not doing anything else, so I might as well. So I uploaded about 8 videos by the end of the time I stopped doing this, and videos got over 1 million views. The rest of them got a minimum of 100,000. And They just kind of exist now. I haven't shared that with anybody as far as like the videos, because it's kind of an embarrassing thing. But at this point, I really don't care to share it. It's perfectly fine. But I haven't checked it in years. I don't even know how high the views have gotten at this point. But I do have another YouTube channel, and I do have that channel has a few million views across only 8 videos. So I had a little confidence in stepping into the YouTube world, because I was like, I've done this before. I can do this. I can get a couple million views. Come to find out, it's pretty hard to do when you're trying to do it on purpose.
I wanted to ask if it's still out there, and you basically, yeah, just said it's still out there. Now, can people still find it, or you want to lead them on a goose chase, so to speak?
They can go on a goose chase if they want. I'll make it easy. One that got the most views, I believe, at this point, I don't know, I haven't checked in a while, is called the Jumping Gemini Trick. Yeah, if people want to find that, that's fine. I'm sure it's kind of oversaturated and it's kind of buried, but who knows? If somebody searches it, I haven't searched it in years. It could come up to the first one, and I could just be putting my foot in my mouth right now, but we'll see.
Well, if somebody finds it, do let us know. Maybe hit up JD on Facebook or something, or on Twitter. But that's awesome. So was that the only other channel you had before?
Yeah, that's the only other channel I've had, and I've used that one as my search engine channel. You know, I always looked up YouTube videos that way. And
okay.
Other than that, that's the only thing that I ever put up. And once I found another job, I stopped doing those videos. I mean, I only did it for, you know, a couple of weeks and just stopped.
Okay.
So, you know, it wasn't like it was a dream or anything like that to be a magician. I just did it because it was, I had some sort of like small purpose and small victories every day that kind of helped me take myself out of the depression of not having a job.
And what time frame are we talking about? What year is that? Just to give us a kind of.
Oh gosh. Early to mid 2000s, perhaps. I can't tell you the exact day, but it was a long time ago. Possibly over 10 years ago.
Early YouTube days.
Exactly.
I like it. I like it. So now fast forward to 2017 and you have all these ideas in your head, you know, mostly because you want to do find a way to make passive income. And you know, you thought the tech route would be the route you wanted to go with. Was sort of other channels that might have inspired this, or was it just like, okay, I'm going to do tech reviews and this is exactly what I want to do. And you made a game plan.
Kind of a little bit of both. I knew I was competent enough in the technology world where I could do tech reviews and I could speak competently and articulate well enough to another audience. I always did that for my friends. My friends always came to me for tech advice and, you know, what things I want to get, and I'd be able to tell them exactly why. So I've always kind of been able to do that. So I knew that that was the world that I wanted to be in. But as far as like creating my own, I guess, style, typically what people will do, and I think they kind of hide this aspect of it, and maybe people aren't exactly honest about it, is when you first start out, I would say, I'd be confident saying almost 100% of people will copy someone else's formula, because that's easy, right? So for you, yep. Gosh, what is the guy's name that you always, he's a famous Canadian vlogger. What is his name?
Peter McKinnon?
Oh, no, not only Peter McKinnon. First of all, he's Matthew Santoro. First of all, Peter McKinnon is incredible. I don't know a lot about Matthew Santoro. Like, I get shamed a lot whenever somebody brings him up, and I just kind of shrug my shoulders and go, I don't know who that is.
I don't know that guy.
But you know, like, you have your influences. So like for me, you've already mentioned like Lou from Unbox Therapy, you know, everybody's favorite Canadian tech reviewer. Also, Carl Conrad's another famous Canadian tech reviewer. But people like from the States, like Jonathan Morrison, anybody from like the TLD Today kind of group. So you have like the Austin Evans, the Crystal Key, MKBHD is kind of in that group, but he mostly has his own thing.
Yeah, he's
your average consumer. Yeah, those kind of people. And those people kind of helped me. I saw what worked for them, and I saw to the point to where I was almost trying to reverse engineer exactly what made them interesting. Each one has their own specific style, and I wanted to reverse engineer that. So I wanted to pull it back and say, okay, why are they doing these shots the way that they're doing? Why are they sitting in this one specific place? Why are they talking about this one specific thing in the way that they do it? Trying to reverse engineer it to figure out what made them successful. And in the process of this, I kind of gravitated more towards Jonathan Morrison's style, because he does have that, you know, entertaining, while informative, yet funny style. And that was kind of what I do. Like, I have a little bit of a dark sense of humor. I kind of always try to make jokes. I'm very sarcastic. And that's sort of the natural way that I speak. So I kind of gravitated towards his style, and without being embarrassed about it, nearly tried to copy his style the best that I could without being kind of gross about how much I was copying it. And then sort of kind of pulled back a little bit, kind of created my own thing and separated myself from his style to kind of create my own.
Okay. So I've never seen this guy, so I've seen your style. So, I can't really compare it out. The only thing that I could say is, like, when I watch like Unbox, still they're not though that long of videos, I get really, really bored, because maybe that's just the way that he does it, but like, he just doesn't seem interested. And it almost kind of seems like, okay, I have to do this because this is like my job now. Whereas you get like, you're just enthusiastic about reviewing. And I'm just like, okay, well, if funny, because it's like, I've been wanting to buy some of the things that you've reviewed. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, if he's really into this, it makes, you did the, what was it? The tripods for cell phones?
Yeah, best smartphone tripods.
I do all of my vlogging through my cell phone. So if I, like, I need, like, you know, I have like 20 tripods. And then I came across, yeah, I came across yours, and I'm just like, well, you know what? That one does make sense. And I've been wanting to buy some of those tripods, and even like a, what I want you to do a review on, I don't know if you have, is a stabilizer, and that's that Smooth Q one. If they give you one.
That's funny.
I want you to review that one.
I'm staring right at it right now. I have a review coming up for the DJI Spark. But by the time that this is released, I believe that review will be out. But that will be the very next review that I do.
So that's funny you said that.
I'm literally staring right at it.
Yeah, because I want to buy it. I know, like, my sister, she has the onto that one, but.
Yeah.
I like it, but it, like, I use lenses a lot on my phone, and this one, it's complete crap. Now, I did see other reviews on this one, says that you can use lenses and whatnot, but I want to make sure. So that's absolutely brilliant that you're going to do that tech review there. So
no worries, man.
Is like when you're reviewing tech, you did mention that you're only going to review things that that you feel are a great product and whatnot. So, and you did say that you turn down some products. Does that happen a lot?
Really, not that often, and it's not. I don't want to give the wrong impression that my channel is only for good things. Because
no, of course.
I do want to make sure that I'm being very open and honest. I don't want to feel like I'm gushing about every product that I have on there. But I do my best to try to be, give the good and the bad. But here's the situational good and bad. And if I feel like I'm going to bash a product that I have nothing positive to say about it, then I don't think that that's really fair to the company. Now, it would make for an entertaining YouTube video.
For sure.
A lot of clicks because I'm absolutely destroying it. I could come up with a lot of really funny things to say about it. I could come up with a lot of situations that would trend really well on YouTube, but I don't feel like that's ever fair to a company because I don't think anybody ever purposely, now of course people may, this may not be true, but I don't think a company ever really goes into making a product that's really, really bad. And they're especially not going to send it to somebody if it's really, really bad. So instead of that, I'll actually give the company a chance and send it back to them and say, all right, this is my professional opinion. Here are the things that can be done to help you improve this product, to help you sell it a little bit more. If you are able to do these things, then please keep an open dialogue with me, and I'd be more than happy to help you with any consulting work in order to get this product better. Mm-hmm. And, so it doesn't happen often. It's only happened 3 times. It's usually from these like smaller companies that are just kind of starting out and they're just trying to find their way. And I don't want to hurt them. You know, that's not the goal of my channel. I'm not out to hurt anybody. I'm here to help.
To be informative.
Make sure that to be informative and to be helpful and to make sure that I am making everybody's journey when they're watching my YouTube channel, or they're taking time away from their day to watch the channel, that's something positive for them, as well as for the company, that they're gaining exposure and they're getting something of value out of my videos as well.
Mm. Now, at the beginning, when you started, obviously, like, these companies weren't throwing products or, hey, JD, can you review our product and whatnot? So did you just find everyday normal things that you already have and started reviewing them, or did you like purchase some things? How did you start with getting things to review? Because I'm pretty sure it you were to buy everything.
Yeah, it is. what you said is the best advice for any tech reviewer, and I'll go ahead and kind of give you a rundown of the advice that I was given and what has worked for me as far as getting into tech reviews. But awesome. First thing is, yes, absolutely. Anything that you have around your house, that's what you review. You live with it every single day. You work with it every single day. You handle it. And you know exactly how much you use it, how to use it, and how other people can possibly use it. So those are the best things to do, because those typically tend to be your best informative videos. The first videos on YouTube tend to not be the best for a lot of people. But if you go back and look at tech reviewers' pages, if you go back to their first one, they are the most enthusiastic about these specific products because they use them every day. It's easy for them to talk about it. So I always recommend making sure that if you're going to start a YouTube tech review page, to review everything in your house that you possibly can. In the process of doing this, the best thing to do is, if you buy things from Amazon, is to review everything that you have ever bought. It takes a long time if you don't review everything, to go back and review everything that you've done and be informative about your reviews. Tell the experience that you have with it. Tell some features about it. Tell everything that you like and don't like about it. And then after that kind of initial paragraph, write a pros and cons list, and then an overall kind of conclusion, a couple sentences after that, and try to upload some pictures if you can. Video is even better, but I know that that takes even longer. So while you're doing this, what's happening is that each person has a profile for Amazon, and you have a rank that's associated with how you review things. So as your rank gets higher, which that comes from reviewing, how long your reviews are, how many pictures you have in your reviews, and how people find it helpful, how many thumbs up you have, or somebody looks at a review and they say, yeah, that was helpful, and there's a button to press if it's they found that review helpful. The more that you can get those numbers to rise, the quicker that you'll show up in these kind of automatic email lists for companies, for them to say like, hey, that person reviews, this would be interesting for us to send something to him so he can review it for us. So typically what'll happen is, you can either contact smaller companies that have not very many stars, like not very many reviews on their products, and say, hey, you know, I review things. Your product looks fantastic. This is something that I'd really like to be able to use in my house, in my daily life. If you would like to send me a free sample, then I'd be more than happy to write a review for you. And 99% of the time, at least starting out, you don't get a response. But if you send out enough messages and if you send out enough emails, somebody will respond. So it's a game of numbers. You just have to do it enough and you'll get something. I remember like the first month I sent out, it must have been 100 emails to companies saying like, hey, you know, I'll review this. And it was kind of like a copy and paste sort of email. So it was easy for me to kind of do that. And I got back one response for them to say, no, thank you. So I got absolutely no response, and then one no thank you. And that's kind of how it is whenever you first start out. So, you know, over time I built up a little bit more of a reputation. I had some videos out and I was able to kind of include that within my emails to these companies so they can see that I have value. And that's the thing that you really have to think about, is that whenever you're trying to present yourself to a company for them to send you something to review, especially for free, most of the time they'll do it at a discount to begin with, which that was what it was for me. I put a lot of money into this at first. So really for the first 6 months, all I'm trying to think about is trying to get my ROI, you know, trying to get my return on investment back. And within this 6 month period, I've been able to do that, which is fantastic. But you have to make sure that the value that you are bringing to the company is always greater for them than it is for you, because unfortunately, a lot of people don't quite understand this, is that at least at first, a lot of times you're going to be giving your time away. Yep. Because if anything, this is an application for these companies, for them to trust you. You can't just raise your hand and say, hi, I review tech products, I'd like free stuff, because they're not going to send you anything. So you want to make sure that you're doing everything that you possibly can to provide some sort of value, and triple the value that they're going to get as opposed to what you would get. Mm-hmm. And over time, the companies will trust you and they will send you things, but you do have to be persistent. You have to be confident in yourself that if you don't get an email back or if you get rejected, that it's okay. They just don't understand how great you are yet, but they will. And you just keep going, keep going, keep going. And eventually people will come to respect your opinion, and it becomes a lot easier for you to get products to review for your channel.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Like, I mean, if you're looking to get into tech reviews, that's exactly what you want to hear, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I want to take it back to that Amazon review thing. You are completely right. I tried to sort of dive into that tech review type of thing. I don't know if you have gone in as far as to see my moment, my Mose yet, sorry, not moment, I can't afford those yet. my Mose yet lenses review. I tried. I think I'm not that good at doing that, but you're right. And I've heard it, I've read this before. You go in there, you can't expect that if you're just starting out, that these companies are gonna be giving you things for free. That's just, it does not happen. You have to put in the work. You have to, like JD said, you have to review things you already own. Like, I mean, you have an iPhone, you probably have a case for it. You, if you do a lot of filming with your iPhone, you probably have a microphone for it. You probably, you know, you have these little attachments that you probably bought. And everyday household items, you know, just review it. I love that advice. I love that advice. So moving right along, you're 6 months into it, year. What's next for JD Tech TV? Like, where are you going? Where do you see yourself in the next 6 months, in the next year?
Well, in the next 6 months, I do have a goal. I just passed, you know, I, as you said, I just passed 6,000 subscribers over my 6 month mark. You said that earlier. Mm. I just recently passed 100,000 views.
I saw
over
that,
over my videos, which is crazy because I wasn't watching that as closely as I should. I was watching the subscriber count, which I don't think that that's healthy because that causes you to be constantly checking, and it's basically just a game. You know, this is
I know how that is.
Oh gosh, it's just infuriating how many times you check it, and you kind of hate yourself for doing it 100 times a day. So I stopped doing that because I'm focusing more on the views, focusing and seeing how many views that I'm getting per video, and then I'm going into my analytics and I am finding exactly where people are dropping off. Because if some of you don't know, you can go into each and every video and you can see an audience retention. Mm-hmm. So that sees like how many people are watching it for however long, and then you can see where there's a dip. It just kind of looks like a line that's going across the screen. You can see a dip of where viewers stop watching. Mm-hmm. Reverse engineer that and figure out why they're stopping, and maybe stop doing that. So I've been able to sort of grow my views because I am obsessed with the analytics. I stopped obsessing about subscriber count and I started obsessing about the analytics. So from there, I started making new goals. And my new goal for the end of the year is 500,000 views across my videos and 10,000 subscribers, which I think would naturally kind of come from those amount of views. I think that's a fair amount.
Yeah.
And then as far as for 5 years, really, I would like at some point to combine my passions of YouTube and of science. So I have all of this scientific training that I'm not using right now. I'm still continuing in school. I'm going to finish that up. And perhaps, I mean, the initial dream was to go to NASA, to go on to SpaceX, to go on to those type of companies that can really make a difference in discovery. So if I could somehow combine those two passions, because there's channels, I don't know if you know these channels called Vsauce 1, 2, and 3. Yep. I mean, if you watch Casey Neistat's vlog, there's this guy named Jake who he is the creator of Vsauce 3, and it's a fantastic YouTube. And these channels are really doing what I would like to be doing as well, which they're communicating scientific education in a way that is actually interesting, because most people kind of zone out of science in high school. I was one of them, because it's not as interesting to you at the time, and most people don't become interested in scientific categories of different types of topics until they become adults. They realize the value, they realize the interest, and they realize the vastness that is these topics. So they're doing something that is really going to change how people learn science. And I think that that's incredibly important. That's something that I'd like to do as well. I don't think I would ever stop reviewing tech. I'm having too much fun. I think it's fantastic. If anything, I would have a second channel. And I would try to branch out and create a new audience that way.
I love it. Now, speaking of those sort of scientific educational channels, there is this one freaking amazing channel that I listen to, and I don't know if you've come across it. It's called Real Life Lore.
Oh yeah.
I can totally picture you doing something like that for like space and space science and all that. I could totally see you because you have the voice for it. Like this, the guy that does Real Life Lore, he's got a unique voice, and the way he does his animations, I could totally see you doing something like that. So who knows?
Well, listen, if you want to go ahead and forward this podcast to them, I'll go ahead and have this as my my application to that channel, because I'm all for it. I love that channel and I'd love to be a part of it. But you're right, something like that would be an absolute dream to get to do. It would just be so pleasurable every day in and day out to be able to know that you're creating something that is not only creative, but it is allowing people to take time out of their lives to relax and learn something at the same time, which is incredibly, incredibly important that people don't quite take the time to really appreciate anymore.
I love it. JD, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Man, this was an awesome, awesome talk. I'm not even calling it an interview because I don't like to call them. It's just been an awesome time talking to you, man. I think I could talk to you for hours just on science and whatnot and pick your brains out, because obviously you probably have way more vast knowledge than me. But I really do appreciate you coming on the podcast, taking some of your time, and just your story on where JD Tech TV has come.
Thank you so much, Mario. I really appreciate you bringing me on here. I think you have an absolutely fantastic format. I love your podcast, and it's only going to get bigger from here.
That was JD Prevost of the YouTube channel JD Tech TV. Such an awesome guy to talk to. Man, I could have talked to him for more hours, but unfortunately, time does play a factor in these podcasts. Interesting that, he, much like myself, was an astronomy lover and wanting to be an astronaut, work for NASA, and he's actually pursuing that dream. So congratulations to you, JD. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Of course, everybody, the links to his channel, his Twitter, Instagram, all that good jazz is in the link in the description down below. That's it for another LTS podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. And as always, you can catch everything and how to interact with me on www.mariorevis.net. Till the next one, keep creating.